The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Yeah, and
God damn!
I love the big package.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
All right. Yo, I'm gonna do a little intro. Danny's computer and joke.
Nailed it.
All right.
You have a career as a rapper.
Shut your mouth. You guys ready? Oh, let me get out of this stupid thing so I can
see. Right,
I guess it's just me and Anthony and Kate's dumb face, whatever this thing is.
Shut the fuck up.
You ready?
What do you want me to do about it? Let's go.
Quarantine content continues next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast as we do our post-AEW Dynamite show for April 1st, 2020. I'm joined by Anthony Rusinello, Kate the Great from On Deck IC, and eventually Danny Rusinello, the other half of AOP, will be joining us. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, good.
All right, good, good. I'm glad everybody's doing good. Everybody's alive during the quarantine, the pandemic, everyone's surviving.
That sounds like a pay-per-view. Pandemic pandemonium sounds like a shitty indie pay-per-view.
I mean, it might as well be.
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, you know, I'm hanging in there, making the best out of a terrible situation.
Sure.
I watched some wrestling.
Hell yeah.
What did you guys think of Dynamite tonight?
I thought it was really good. I didn't think it was like the past couple weeks, the past month and a half good.
Yeah, I enjoyed what I saw tonight. It was interesting. I mean, I guess right off the bat, something I noticed was they clearly have changed the way that they've been shooting it and where they were shooting it. So they never said where they were, but I used some of the cues from I guess what I was seeing on the ground, and it looks like they were probably in the Jaguars' training facility because it looked like the football field underneath.
Yeah, I think it was the practice field for the Jags, definitely.
Danny,
hi, everybody.
Danny has joined us. Danny, it sounds like you're better now. It sounded like you were in a wind tunnel before.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on. We're good. We're on.
Somebody from their under their AEW banner put something out on social media, and you know how you can it'll like tag you or check you in. They were someplace in Nashville, Tennessee, apparently.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Very cool.
Well, wherever it was, there were hash marks underneath them, because at one point the camera panned down to show where they were, and there were hash marks like a football field. So maybe it was a college. Maybe it was even the I was going to say the Oilers. Jesus. Maybe it was the Titans. Who knows? But it was interesting to see that they've clearly scaled everything down, and they were keeping a little distance right off the bat, like Cody and Shivani were way far apart. But I love that they brought back having people at ringside split out between the heels and the baby faces. So that was cool. I thought it was a pretty nice setup for trying to, you know, navigate all this social distancing, you know, pandemic stuff.
Yeah, and you could clearly tell that they were at some place where they could fit more than 10 people in a room. Maybe in Tennessee they don't have that many cases. So it's interesting just to see how they're making this all work.
That's what I'm intrigued to see if they are, like, are they just going to go to every state until it gets shut down? Like, what's that going to look like and how sustainable is it going to be? But I thought, I think it was you, Anthony, who had mentioned, like, right off the bat that they were in a smaller ring. You could kind of see, especially Kenny Omega, I felt like was making a lot of adjustments to a smaller ring. Like, that was something that was pretty apparent off the bat, but it didn't distract me too much outside of that. Like, I felt like the tunnel still looked good. The rest of the set looked good.
Yeah, I think that they did a good job with it. And I had mentioned it on our little text chat before, but we could talk about it later. Now seeing that they've moved and possibly to Tennessee, it could be because the state of Florida has changed its stance on, I guess, shelter in place and essential workers going to work. But we could talk about that later. We could talk about the show now.
All right, let's talk about the show. Oh, there I am. Where was I? There. I sound much. Oh, what is that? Hello? What is this? You know, technical issues. That sounds much better. I can finally hear myself. We'll talk about that much a little later in the night. But kicking it off, Kenny Omega and Trent, what did you guys think of this matchup? As somebody who watched New Japan Pro Wrestling quite a bit before AEW, I thought Trent Barreto was primed for a run with the new Jesus Christ. Hold on,
New Day?
Let me change channels.
Hey, keep that out of your mouth. New Day.
New Day rocks.
Oh, that's much better. Oh, maybe my channel one is shot. Sorry. As somebody who watched New Japan Pro Wrestling, my soundboard. I have a soundboard. I have a legit soundboard. I don't know if it's legit. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing half the time. For all I know, the first 5 minutes of this, you could not hear me at all. We'll never know. Well, we'll know when we listen back. But anyway, I thought Trent was primed for a U.S. title run, and they kind of brought up that they Kenny and Trent saw each other in New Japan when Kenny was the U.S. champion, an excellent match. And I really like the pacing of this match. I like how it almost went to full 20 minutes. I don't like how Trent almost killed Kenny Omega with that top rope suplex, German suplex, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. That was a scary little spot there. Not Montez Ford's scary spot, but a scary little spot.
Yeah, I did like this match a lot. I really thought it was nice that, well, not nice, but we haven't really seen a lot of, kind of singles Trent on TV, and especially a match where he's going the distance like this. I like the fact that it really went the distance and that, he was able to be so physical. This match really didn't rely to me on a lot of like super high spots, a lot of flips and stuff like that. There was some of it, but it was super physical. I really feel like Kenny was a little more, he had a little mean streak during this match and almost a little heelish at times. Man, some really good spots. Good jobs, with working the hand on Kenny. Trent's baseball slide into German suplex was pretty awesome. That was a really cool looking spot. And just again, like, is Kenny maybe not the best in the world? I mean, like, he's just had such a really good streak this past month or so. And again, I just find it so funny. Like, the week after, I feel like I saw a lot of stuff out there about him being in like a slump and not really living up to his best in the world, kind of title. He seemed to just come out and put on great match after great match, like over the last month and a half. So I like this match a lot.
Yeah, I think if you don't think Kenny Omega is one of, if not the best in the world, as far as like one of the most well-rounded wrestlers, especially as someone who was great on commentary last week, is always great promo-wise, and is just, I'm always struck by his in-ring versatility. Like, I feel like you can just put any style wrestler in there and he just knows how to make it look really good and how to adapt.
My mic was off. I fucking suck.
Yeah, sorry. My main takeaway, honestly, is like, how cool is it that we get to see Kenny Omega wrestle like every single week or like every other week, where, you know, as amazing as the New Japan matches are, sometimes they're few and far between. To get to see him work every single week with all different kinds of characters and singles matches and tag matches, it's really great to see. And, you know, hitting on what Anthony said, it felt like for the first few months, like, yeah, there were some awesome matches, but it wasn't like the full kind of Omega that you've seen and would expect. And it just feels like kind of like the whole company since that New Year's show on New Year's Day, they've just been, you know, hitting on all cylinders and been on a roll. And adding to that, Cody was spectacular again tonight on commentary, as was Colt, who came in later on. And Shivani is shining so much. I don't know if maybe it's without because JR is not there, but Shivani really like feels like he's back in his element again. And it's like a joy to listen to him on commentary.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though I think he had a stroke at the end of the episode, he couldn't get anything right. He was calling everyone the wrong names.
I think him also just being like, he's not really doing any backstage interviews too. So I think it's just like Shivani doing one thing for the episode is also something that it's like, he's just focused on this one thing. It's not like he's going to interview Baker on the side. And like, I feel like it's just him and one other person. And he, like you were saying, was just very locked in. I also like with this first match that I think Matt mentioned this last week, like we're just getting to see matchups we wouldn't normally get to see otherwise, I think, because of the circumstances we're under. And that was just like a fun thing to note in the opener too, is just like, when else are you going to see this other than like on the boat or whatever? like it's pretty cool to see a matchup like that. It kind of reminded me of Jericho versus Scorpio Sky a little bit on a less grand scale and not as big of a deal, but it was just like one of those kind of cool moments.
Always goes back to the boat, doesn't it?
It always does. You had to be there.
Yeah, we all can't be in Meltzer's front pocket. did you guys watch AEW Dark by any chance?
I actually did not this week yet.
No, I did not have time to. I did see Hager attack Moxley on a Twitter, which is awesome. I love that they're, you know, putting main show stuff on Dark. They're really intertwining them together.
Yeah, and I think in a time when people are kind of clamoring for more content, I think it's a no-brainer. I know they announced it last week that he was going to be on Dark. I didn't even bother to watch because of time restraints. I had to watch the New Jack Dark Side of the Ring. I also had to work. I'm one of the lucky people that still gets to work. But, you know, I feel like I'm going to go out of my way now to make sure I am watching AEW Dark on Tuesdays, and I'll watch like Dark Side of the Ring, then I'll watch AEW Dark, and then I'll get ready for Dynamite. And it's pretty cool that they're going to do that empty arena match between them, which I think Jim Ross may have said in an interview recently that they already taped it, but I'm fine with that. As long as spoilers don't get out, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't mind if they're pre-taping stuff. I mean, you'd have to expect that they've got to pre-tape some of this stuff. Because if we do come into an eventual work stoppage, you know, they've got to be able to have something to put on TV. I mean, I know it would happen to everybody. You know, it would happen to the competition. It would happen to them. But, you know, if you still want to give yourself a shot at being on TV and being able to compete with the other guys, you've got to pre-tape stuff. So that's fine. If they pre-tape it, that's fine. Tonight was the first I'd heard. Maybe they mentioned it last week, but tonight was the first time I'd heard that they were going to do that that title match. That's no holds barred. I don't know if we said that. No holds barred in an empty arena in 2 weeks. I think that's awesome. I mean, they're giving you stuff that you want to see on TV, where sometimes other promotions aren't really doing that. They're holding it for a pay-per-view, and I think it makes TV feel special. So I love it. Also, I noticed that they announced that during the Hager Moxley kind of video package. I did love how Hager, you know, slid in. Moxley doesn't have that ruthless aggression. So maybe a shot, maybe not. But I thought that was pretty funny.
I just don't care that much about Jake Hager, but that was a good video package. I'm slowly starting to. I don't know. Kind of feels just like a blonde Donkey Kong to me. Like, I just don't. I just don't connect to them. I think they're doing the. I think I'm as bought in as I'm going to be. Like, I was excited about the video package, and I think that style match is going to play well. I'm just not that in on the old Hager. I wasn't really in on him in WWE either. Like, I just. He's just not someone I connect with.
No, I like you, I'm not a big Jake Hager guy. Like, I'm really not. But I think it's kind of the perfect person for Mox's first, like, actual defense. It's like a big bully type guy. He's in the inner circle. He's someone, like, credible that he can beat, but not necessarily someone that, like, you need to worry about cooling down or cooling off too much. And it's funny that you mention, like, him back in his WWE days, because as I've told you guys in our text group, I've been watching old, like, 2009, 10, 11 pay-per-views, and, man, they let him talk way too much there. Like, they were giving him microphones all the time there. He doesn't talk much on AEW, which is good, and the vignette kind of style video packages are much better than him standing in the ring with a live mic, but... I'm definitely more into him now than I was, you know, him being the all-American American with awful ring entrance music and the push-up and all that stuff. There's some better stuff back then, too, than I remember. There's some good matches.
They really tried to push him in WWE, too. Like, I think they gave him the mic so much because they were really, really hot on him. So, and he fits that WWE archetype a lot, so it makes sense. But yeah, I remember some really insufferable promos from that time that you're going back to.
Yeah, it's not great.
I'll tell you what's great. Lance Archer is phenomenal. Phenomenal. I thought putting him in there. Oh, and the TNT Championship, which I guess we can talk about too. That we should talk about. Because he's involved in that too. It's the little things that they're doing in AEW. Like, maybe they didn't have this TNT tournament, TNT championship, and they weren't ready to let it roll out yet, but because of the circumstances, they're going ahead with it. Just the little things, like Colt being on commentary for the match against Lance Archer, where you know Lance Archer in 2 weeks is going to face Colt in the first round. The little shit like that, like... And you knew it was a fucking squash match. You knew the tag match was a squash match with the, what are they called? What are they calling themselves? The Nightmare.
Natural Nightmares. Yep.
Yeah. Natural Nightmares, which I'm okay with. I don't mind another tag team. I just want to know, is this these guys can get the TV for tapings, so let's make them a tag team? Or is this like, we were going to make them a tag team to begin with? Because we haven't seen Go ahead, Ant.
No, I was going to say, I was wondering the same thing throughout parts of the night, because I don't know if it was necessarily putting them together because they don't have guys who can make it to TV. But, I mean, personally, just talking about needing people to make it to TV, I don't know who Anna Jay is. I don't know if she's an indie person who I should be familiar with, but it seemed like possibly... somebody local who they found to work against Sheeta, which was fine because, you know, Anna Jay got some offense in. The match wasn't like phenomenal, but it was okay. And
there was dog shit.
No, but
it's not the worst we've seen out of the women's division. I like Anna Jay. I thought she had a nice showing.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Women frustrate me.
But the reason I bring it up is because if Anna Jay is just somebody who they bought in to help, they let her get a little bit of offense in. They let her have a showing. It wasn't a 1-2-3 squash. I also liked in that match, by the way, Britt Baker at ringside asking for 6 feet. That was pretty fun. Anyway, but then talking about local talent too, you know, the Nightmare or Natural Nightmares fought 8 and 9. Those were probably local guys that they found to work because they couldn't get talent there. And what better way to hide who they were was just put them in masks. I wish that they actually had numbers on their shirts so we could know who was who. Maybe that's part of something where they're going to have these guys start switching in and out. But, you know, I just think that I don't think it's necessarily putting Dustin and QT together because they're having trouble getting people there. I think some of the people they're actually bringing to face their stars might be seeing some local talent now because of the travel restriction and things that we have in place. So I didn't necessarily mind it. I thought, just jumping back to what Matt was talking about with Lance, since that's kind of where this all kicked off. Yes, having Colt on commentary for that match was perfect. Also very smart for them to utilize Colt because that's what he was doing right before he joined them. So just very smart to me to have him jump on the mic. But, you know, at first I was like, this is dumb. Marco Stunt and Lance, like, how is this going to be at all any good? But, you know, then as you sit there and kind of get that out of your brain, it made total sense. Lance is 6'7", but up against Marco Stunt, he looks like he's 8 feet tall. And just being able to throw him around, he threw him from the fucking apron into the crowd, quote unquote. I mean, with that was
like with ease he did that.
Yeah, I mean, just really great way to make him look like the monster they're building him up to be. And that blackout finisher, I think, looks incredible. I can't wait to see him do it on somebody who's a little bit bigger to see if he can still pull it off with as much ease. But I mean, Lance, I think, is built for this promotion. It's pretty great.
Do you guys think? And for what we, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but do you think based on what we saw at the end of the night where Darby, you know, I guess they could like kind of turning on Cody, if, you know, this tournament plays out and Cody ends up beating Darby Allin and facing Lance Archer in the finals for the TNT title, do you think he might link up somewhere with Jake and Lance Archer?
That's a great question. The beauty of what they're doing here in AEW right now is they're giving us layers. You know, Darby still has this issue with Sammy Guevara and the Inner Circle. And now he is going back to his, you know, one man, all alone type deal. Almost kind of similar to what you saw Cody do after MJF left him high and dry. When Cody was like, I'm a man on my own mission, and then Darby teamed with him. So it'll be interesting to see if it adds. Go ahead,
Kate. I was just going to say, I actually don't think they're going to do that because I think you're then on the verge of, like, they killed Nightmare Collective because they felt like they already had too much of, like, a dark and twisty stable situation going. And I think you might be on the cusp of doing that again, but it also seems like, I don't know. I kind of want Jake the Snake and Lance Archer to just be their own two for the time being, at least. Like maybe down the line, like Matt was saying, as a layer. But like, I kind of like this, like Jake and Lance, and then like at the mansion,
the Murder Hawk Mansion.
Murder Hawk Mansion. Like, I kind of like that. That was just like you were saying last week, some weird thing in the middle of the woods where everybody's beating the hell out of each other. I think you run the risk of being like so stable heavy if you go down that route. But that's kind of the fun thing about tournaments, and this is what I love about New Japan, is there's just endless possibilities, and you can do so many crazy things with booking that having this I almost called it the television title because that's kind of what it is, but this TNT title like kind of plays into that chaos that New Japan gives me that I love so much.
And if you're not familiar with Lance Archer, he really, really, really came into his home, came into his own. He probably goes into his home too, but he came into his own in the G1 this year. If you're looking for, if you want to know what you're going to get out of Lance Archer, the G1 to where he lost the US title at Wrestle Kingdom, like, that's that's where Lance Archer is now as a singles, and it is fucking awesome.
Everyone listening also tweeted AEW for to make an Everybody Dies shirt, because I want one and I really want them to make one.
Oh my gosh, me too.
I think they released like a Murder Hawk Mansion shirt or some kind of Murder Hawk shirt today.
They did release a Murder Hawk one. I just would really love one that just says Everybody Dies.
It's got to be coming. So on the left side of this bracket, we have Cody and Spears, and then we get Darby and Sammy, which is a fucking banger, just waiting to happen.
Always money.
And then on the right side, we have Dustin and Kip Sabian, right? Kip Sabian, the bad boy. I can't stand him, by the way.
He's doing his job.
I guess so.
Can't stand him, or you don't like him?
No, as a heel, I fucking hate him. I hate him. I hate Penelope. I could not. Every time the camera showed Penelope Ford tonight, she was just fucking standing there. She didn't do shit. She wasn't cheering.
She's a bad girl.
She just stood there. Just Jesus Christ. At least take your tits out or something if you're a bad girl. Just fucking standing there taking up space.
I think technically she's super bad Penelope Ford now.
She super sucks. How's that sound?
Well, I don't disagree. But just jumping back into the tournament, I think the matchups are pretty good. We left out one match. It's Lance and Colt. We mentioned it. But Lance and Colt rounds out the right side of the bracket. Yeah, I didn't think too far ahead, as far ahead as Danny did to, you know, Darby hooking in with Lance. But, you know, at first I was kind of like, man, it sucked that Darby had to take the pin. Because it could have been cool to have Cody take the pin, and then now that sets up something for next week. But if I waited 2 seconds before I thought that, I would have seen, you know, Darby turn on Cody, which then sets up perfectly for, you know, a semifinal match. So I think that they are definitely lining this up right. And also it was nice, you know, to have, you know, these background kind of rivalries in this main event tonight. You know, they're basically running all the way back to Spears joining All Elite, you know, having a thing with Cody, which is why, you know, sometimes when I find it funny when people are like, there's too many stories going on, how can you keep it all straight? Well, because then when you put these guys together after they haven't been together for a while, they do have a reason to hate each other, right? Like, these layers add storylines everywhere. So I thought it was cool. Everybody in that match tonight, in the main event, had a storyline going with the other person. Also things I loved about the main event, gambling during that match, you know, on the stalled suplex, that was fucking fantastic. And also just, I mean, I think Darby is just a fucking star. He's already really over with the fans, but dude, his moveset is killer. His movements in the ring are unique. And he climbed a fucking pole and did a coffin drop from like 10 feet in the air. Like, this guy's insane. He did a suicide dive out of the ring to Sammy too, where I thought he killed himself because it looked like he had just had no regard for his own safety. I think he's amazing. I don't know if they're lining him up to win this tournament, but I'd love to see him win this tournament.
Spears catching him out of the other suicide dive was awesome too, and throwing him into the crowd. I think that was right before the coffin drop. Was super cool. And going off of what you said about all the stories, it's what's so super helpful for them, and not having everybody on every show, is that they could heat stuff back up and let it cool down kind of whenever they want to based on who's on the show that week. So you're not seeing, you know, super linear storylines. I love that everything's, you know, intertwined and tangled and everyone's, you know, has some kind of relationship, good or bad, with someone else through tag matches or singles matches or whatever. I especially think that's super helpful with what they're dealing with now and not being able to get talent on shows based on travel. Because, like, you have to think Santana and Ortiz being in New York, like, it's difficult for them to get out of New York. I don't know where the Lucha Brothers are, but if they're in Mexico or even in California, that's super difficult for, like, them, too.
Well, if they're also, if AEW is in Florida, they're making people quarantine when they get to Florida from, like, New York City. So, you know, it could also be why maybe some of those guys aren't showing up. I think that, I mean, all in all tonight, for a two-hour show, we got five matches. And they were five good quality matches. Nothing really sucked. I mean, you know, the nightmare, natural nightmare match, you know, was sort of squashy. But 8 and 9, those guys even got in some offense. That wasn't a straight up squash. The women's match wasn't a straight up squash. It wasn't great, but it was serviceable. And they got five matches out of a night where, you know, clearly they had a smaller roster. And they changed facilities, possibly a smaller ring from what it looked like on TV. I think they are managing this whole thing perfectly, and they're putting in these video packages, you know, that aren't too long, just the right length, where you don't feel like you're getting a show full of packages and no action. And if we don't talk about the three packages that I thought were fantastic, I'll absolutely kill everybody who's on this chat. Fucking.
Can we start with the Jericho one? Because I was like falling off of my chair when he called Cody Rhodes Cody Exotic and then also gave a t-shirt to a drone.
Like, yeah, that's...
He got out of that hot tub in leather pants.
And he also
sitting in the hot tub in leather pants.
The hot tub in leather pants. Like, the guy is amazing. He puts such an equal weight on the things that he does that are dramatic and the things that he does that are hilarious that he's so constantly bought in, and it makes you buy into because it's treated with the same sincerity and ingenuity. And it just, he unleashed the hounds to chase a drone that had a kid's t-shirt on it. Like, if that's not entertaining, I don't know what is. Come on.
When he said release the hounds, I let out like this hysterical laugh.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, what the fuck is going on? And every time Jericho says pumpkin headed dipshit, I laugh my ass off. I don't know why. I think it's the funniest phrase ever.
Well, and the dipshit thing, I don't know if you saw the Twitter exchange with Undertaker this week. What did Undertaker call AJ Styles? Was
an ass clown.
I'm sorry. Okay, I had it backwards because somebody on Raw said dipshit as well. But yeah, Pumpkin had a dipshit. Like, how do you just not fall in love with the guy? Like, unleash the hounds and there's dogs chasing after a drone on my television. Like, it was good.
Yeah, it was also fantastic that Vanguard 1 said that it was at Le Palais de la Champion in parts unknown. I mean,
little stuff like that, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then he ends, the little bastard stole my shirt. I mean, that was fantastic. That promo, that package was absolutely fantastic. I'm also gonna bring up Jake the Snake. It's a short promo package, but man, fucking Jake the Snake. This is like the third or fourth one he's done. And it's just fucking all gold from Jake the Snake. I'll say it again. I don't know why the other companies weren't fucking trying to get Jake the Snake in to help them teach people how to talk on the mic. He is so fucking smooth. Just another great promo talking about how maybe Cody is fucking smart and he should be scared. Maybe his wife really does wear the pants in the family. I thought that was a fantastic short video package. And the other one that I want to at least mention was another Bravo video package from Brody Lee and the veiled WWE shots that they're taking. Mr. Brody, and that yawning makes you look tired, which makes you look weak. And say this exactly how I told you, and then getting pissed off. I mean, just fucking fantastic. Just great.
I also enjoyed him coming out after the tag match, Brody Lee, and just powerbombing the shit out of whoever that was that caught the pin. And the weird storyline with QT where he wouldn't accept the mask and he brought the mask to the ring with him for the tag match. The other vignette I really enjoyed, or the little video package, was the Young Bucks one.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's just like this sense of realism. Like, we get it. We know what we're watching. But, like, here he was. He's been out for a month. He's not just going to show back up. Like, let's take advantage of the situation we're in and let's show Nick getting himself back into ring shape. Like, I'll invest in shit like that. You know, like, they're still advertising Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. It's fucking right. 5 days away. And he already put out a video where he said he's not going to do it. So you're like, come on, I'm not a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I agree. It's the sense of realism they have with everything on this show is fantastic. And the way that these guys lean into everything just helps. It doesn't feel like these guys are being forced to just recite these lines and run these promos or do these packages. It's great. And I sitting on the couch and Gina was sitting watching with me. And I said to her specifically about Jericho, I was just like, how fucking amazing is it that this guy's been around for as long as he has. And every time he's come back, he's made himself relevant again and in a completely different fashion. He just leans all the way in every time. It's fantastic. I just, I really wish I had something bad to say about this promotion and something to hate sometimes because I feel like...
But it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, because I feel like you start praising this stuff and then people tell you, you know, you'll hear people say, like, especially about, you know, other promotions, like, oh, you know, this sucks, that sucks. Oh, you're just a fucking mark and blah, blah, blah. But, like, honestly, like, I'm enjoying everything I'm seeing. It's been different. As Danny kind of said, the women's division is a little to be desired for, but they're doing the best with what they have. I don't think anybody truly has like an infallible women's division. Impact is pretty fucking good.
NXT's has a pretty stellar women's division. Yeah. They NXT's had an awesome gauntlet match tonight. It was flipping like during commercials. It was really good.
Like the other thing is, AEW's only been awake for 8 months. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's if the one thing, like, I have complaints about WWE every week of my life. And
you do?
Yeah. And I have like one recurring complaint about AEW. And that's it. Like, and that's pretty amazing when you consider how young they are. And obviously they have, you know, you have people like Jim Ross and Cody had Dusty as a dad, so that's just cheating. And they're obviously experienced at it, but like, it's really incredible that my only real issue with it is the women's division. And then for the first few months, there were like a lot of production glitches, like a lot of weird audio stuff and some weird camera stuff, but they seem to have ironed that out as well. So I think I'm with you. It's hard to find stuff to criticize. And even when I do find something that I don't like, there always seems to be like an answer for it, even if it's not an answer I like. Like with the Inner Circle in the beginning, I was like, I don't buy that these guys would all hang out. But at the same time, like they all seem to have the same motivation. So they were making it work. And like, that was one of the first things they did. I think we talked about this before. So like, who am I to say they don't hang out if you're telling me off the bat that they do? So like even things that I've been like, I don't know if I love that they seem to have a justification for. And that's kind of all I ask is like, have a reason for doing it. And I think that's why I'm so connected to AEW. One very underrated thing that we haven't talked about. Orange Cassidy had a sign at ringside today. That was just a blank piece of card, postcard, which was hilarious. And then last week we talked about how they were utilizing like offline stuff to still enhance the experience. And they also had MJF on Twitter answering questions using the hashtag AEW Dynamite and also the hashtag I'm a big fat mark or he wouldn't respond. So that was really fun to see those social media accounts continue to tie into the experience.
Yeah, it's such a simple concept. It's remarkable that the biggest wrestling company in the world has no fucking idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Like, why isn't Becky Lynch live tweeting if she's not on or whatever? Like, that does seem just like some blatantly obvious stuff that they're missing. I know you guys didn't watch this week, but for a go home show, under the circumstances that we watched, it was definitely their best since this whole thing has happened. But man, I just don't know how they're going to have 2 days and like 8 hours of empty arena matches when they don't have it down. Like that's going to be a painful process. They have put their best talkers on the mic with this stuff, but just the disparity between what we watched tonight and what I was watching on Monday. And listen, I'm always going to watch WrestleMania. I was going to watch the go home to WrestleMania.
You're a
I don't
fucking
know.
Mark.
I absolutely am, but like that's what got me to here. So like, I'm never gonna not watch Mania. That just feels sacrilegious to me in some ways. But it's like, I don't know if I'll watch Raw after Mania. Like, I this is the first time I started watching in 2009, which is when a lot of people came back because of the Punk pipe bomb. Or I guess that was 2010, 2011. But like,
that was 2011.
That was 2011. So I had been watching like probably I think in October of 2009. So that was like me just like hitting my stride. And so this would be the first time I put down Raw in the entire time I've been watching, like legitimately. And it's just, I don't know why I'm wasting 3 hours of my life every Monday. So, but I'll definitely watch this Mania. Some of it's purely intrigue. Like they have incredible production. That's pretty like undeniable, like at least the resources for it. So like, I'm interested to see what they do with full cinematic control and not having to worry about any sort of protocol. Like, so that part intrigues me, but yeah, I mean, it's just, they replayed two old matches. They had their lowest ratings ever for a third hour at 1.6 million. They went from 2.5 million 2 weeks ago down to 1.9 million. They're sub 2 million, which is really sad, for them. Probably good for people that are interested in the interesting product to not be wasting their time, but
all right, before we go down this WWE rabbit hole, because it is WrestleMania this weekend, I just want to put a bow on AEW.
Yes.
What do you guys think of the show overall, and who do you like to win the TNT championship?
Strap it onto Lance Archer. Make him a big deal right away. And I think you can pull something off where you heat back up Cody and Darby Allin again.
I'm stuck on, there's a part of me that says Lance, but there's also a part of me that says Sammy, and we start to see some tension in the inner circle because they've been really hammering home this, we don't drink, we don't fight within ourselves thing, and I think it might be time for some feathers to get ruffled in this rock solid stable we've been saying. And also, I think I mentioned last week that Sammy's been taking a lot of very high quality losses, but a lot of losses nonetheless, for him to like kind of be able to break away from that is quite possible. So I think they're going to put it on Lance because they're just building him up to be the monster that he is. But I would put Sammy as my dark horse as well.
I like the show tonight a lot. So I think it was another good showing under new circumstances. So that's one. And two, I'm going to stick with Darby winning the tournament. I just think that there is a lot of heat. Well, not heat. There's a lot of fans with him. He's really good for them. He's unique. It doesn't mean to say I don't think they could throw a swerve in there and do something like give it to Lance. I don't think they're giving it to Sammy because I don't think they want to do some sort of mid-card title with the Inner Circle. I think they have the Inner Circle solely focused on the championship, or Big Platinum as they're calling it now. So I don't think it goes on Sammy. I don't see it going to either Kip or Dustin. And I don't think Cody wins this. I don't think he's putting a title on himself, which I don't think is a bad thing. So it's going to be number one Darby, and if they don't put it on Darby, I think it's going to Lance.
I like Darby.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I like Darby as well. I'd like Darby to beat Sammy, Darby to beat Cody, and then Darby to steal a win from Lance, maybe with a little help from Cody, setting up a bigger match with Cody and Lance. And I don't think it hurts Lance if it's a cheap shot, low blow, 1-2-3 kid, victory roll-up bullshit. Because by this point, you've already seen Lance destroy Colt Cabana, and I'm assuming Dustin. I don't know. I don't see Kip advancing to the next round. And
see, that's what. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
I just don't. I don't think Lance Archer needs a title. He's not a mid card title. If you're gonna send him after Moxley when he's done with Cody, I'm all in on that because I love their New Japan stuff. But I just don't see a point. And he's kind of elevated already to begin with the way he's coming in a high profile feud with Jake the Snake Roberts. Darby, as I think we've all agreed, is just has star written all over him, and who better to strap the rocket to than him in the mid card, and you can let him work with all these amazing talents while, you know, you let the MJFs of the world climb up to the top of the mountain, but you know Darby's right there, and an MJF Darby match in a year and a half for the world title isn't something that is completely ridiculous.
I originally yesterday when it first got announced thought for sure Darby Allin. After seeing the second half of the bracket tonight, I really feel like it's going to end up being Lance Archer. And part of that is also because of how Dynamite ended with, you know, Darby punching Cody. I definitely don't think it's going to be Sammy. Jericho's focused on Hardy, and, you know, in his promo, like you said, they're still focused on the Elite. Blood and Guts still has to happen. I think the right side of the bracket is set up in the second round for Lance to absolutely destroy Dustin and set it up for Cody and Lance. And I think maybe not Darby joining up with Lance, but getting involved in that match somehow where Lance wins that TNT championship. And I think they might make him just a monster for a year, year and a half with that title. Just have beat people down, and then, you know, someone comes and finally does it and beats them.
Well, I think either way, they're smart about the way they've set this up, right? Because, you know, I think it's Darby. And to Matt's point, I kind of thought that if he fights Lance, then Cody somehow gets involved and it becomes Jake the Snake now saying, "You are scared, but you won't fight us. Now you're going to fight us," you know, and that's a Lance Cody thing. But if they do set it up where Cody's going to fight, you know, Archer, it could be now you can't run Cody. You've got to fight us, and Lance beats the shit out of him, or even Darby decides to get involved, and now we've got a whole three-way thing going on. So I think they're setting themselves up so that there's not really one clear, like, path to a winner. And there's a lot of different outs that they could do depending on how they set this up. So I think it's really smart the way that they've kind of booked themselves. They're not booked into a corner. They're really actually leaving themselves wide open to do whatever they want and be smart about this.
I was just going to say there's three intelligent wrestling fans on this call. We all gave possibilities that are like logical, but we don't know for sure who's going to be the winner. And that's just a really, to me, that's the most exciting place that you could be in wrestling for something like this is like, there's a few possibilities that all make a ton of sense. So that's like, to me, that's kind of ideal. Cause I feel like, and not even just WWE, a lot of other products, it's like, well, it's probably going to be this guy. And if they swerve us, it'll be that guy. And now it's like, there's like legitimate choices here. Also, one thing I forgot to mention in the main event tonight, my favorite moment of commentary for the night was Tony Schiavone saying, you know what's unique about this Darby Allin and Colt Cabana going, his face is painted. He's got paint on his face. Very funny to me because he was very clearly going to say how he connects with the crowd, but I just really appreciate Colt Cabana being like, yeah, he's got face paint.
Also, going back to the Jericho promo, him going, Nick Jackson and his new baby. That made me laugh.
Good stuff. Cody Exotic.
Really good. Another fun night of wrestling, though, because it feels like wrestling, and that's honestly all I asked for. It to feel like wrestling.
Which is not impressive.
And not have Gronk.
No Gronk. So Dynamite, another huge success. This is supposed to be like the biggest week in wrestling, and because of what's going on in the world, it clearly isn't. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this. Unlike Kate, I am not a sheep to the WWE. I will gladly tell you, I have not watched the last three WrestleManias. One year it was opening day. The year the Hardys came back, it was opening day, and I watched baseball all day, and I only turned the network on to see the Hardy Boys, and I went right back to a useless baseball game between two teams that I didn't give a shit about, but I love baseball. I didn't watch. I watched like 20 minutes of last year's WrestleMania. I can't even tell you. What's up?
Last year's was good.
I get it. Last year's went forever.
It was long.
That's the problem.
I will say there are limits to my sheepdom, though. I would not be getting it if it wasn't. Like, I'm already subscribed to the network, so I'll watch it because it's going to be on there for free. So I will say,
this,
like, I am
this
not.
This might be the last one.
But truly, like, that's huge when you consider that if this was not, like, God, I don't even want to think about how many people wouldn't be watching it if they didn't have a network. My God. Like, there's no way I would pay money for this that I'm not already subscribed to paying. And right now, I need the WWE Network because I need to go back and watch some old stuff. So they're lucky that I'm not canceling my subscription. But like, that's an important distinction because I'm not watching it because I'm so compelled to that I value it. I'm like watching it because like, it'll be on and nothing else is really on and it's already paid for, so why not, kind of thing. And there's intrigue to how they're going to set it up. But like, that's a really rough place for what's supposed to be the biggest company in wrestling to be. It's like, I wouldn't blink in telling you no if it wasn't already paid for, which is bad.
I mean, look, I get it. I still have the network. I still won't watch it. I'd rather play the show or watch some murder show on Oxygen Channel or watch some New Japan or watch any. I just have zero interest in the WWE product. And I feel like it's not the way. Like, I'd watch WrestleMania 6 before I watch WrestleMania 30. Like, it just doesn't do it. Nothing about it captivates me. It's not, because I've said it before, everyone gets their fucking WrestleMania moment. It's like nauseating. You know it's going to happen. Everyone has to have a WrestleMania moment every year just for the sake of saying so-and-so had the WrestleMania moment. I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, in the history of professional wrestling, it's going to be an amazing feat, the fact that there was a WrestleMania in front of zero fans. But what the fuck's a Boneyard match? What's a Funhouse Firefly match? Like, what the fuck? Why has it got to be gimmicks and bullshit? Like, was that the plan from go, or is this because of the situation we're in?
Those are actually
two of the ones I'm interested in, just to see how, like, they do their cinematic style of stuff. Like, the Ultimate Deletion, when they did it, wasn't terrible. I don't think it was as good as the TNA stuff, but or the Impact stuff. But those two, I actually do want to see how they pull off and what it looks like. Also, Morrison versus whoever in a ladder match, count me in. I'm in for that.
I want to see Charlotte.
I don't know if he's wrestling.
Like, I'm intrigued by Charlotte versus Rhea, and I am intrigued. Like, I'm with you that I think I want to see what that means. Like, I don't think that was planned from the beginning. I don't think a Boneyard match and a Firefly Funhouse match were planned from the beginning. So that makes me more intrigued because I think one place that WWE does excel is production and making this cinematic, and they'll probably have ridiculous drone cameras and stuff. Like, I'm intrigued to see.
I tune in for WrestleMania to see wrestling. I don't give a fuck about any of that. Like,
well,
I'm a wrestling fan. I want to see wrestling. Kevin had the same argument. He wants to see the production. I don't want to see any of that bullshit. I want to see a fucking match that I'm invested in. Like, this is the direction that people are going in now. They want to see the production, the cinematic bullshit. I want to show me a wrestling match that I've invested my emotions in. Not some shit you threw against the wall at the end of January because it's WrestleMania season. It's fucking disgusting.
Because I have been watching, like, AJ versus Taker, I'm actually kind of bought in on now because AJ has been selling the hell out of it.
Because he got pinned in fucking Saudi Arabia in a match that The Undertaker wasn't involved in? How does that make sense?
No, but, like, he's been one person. First of all, I could watch AJ Styles wrestle the Invisible Man and I would be happy. Like, I really just pretty much love what AJ Styles does under basically any circumstances. But his promo, I have been watching week to week, and his promos have been incredible, and Undertaker delivered a pretty good one. I don't know what it's going to look like in a ring, but, like, I'm a little more bought in on that. I'm excited about Edge and Orton. Like, I'm not excited like I am with, like, a white-hot AEW, but I'm still entertained by it. And it's not, but my point being, like, it's not just the production I'm tuning in for. Like, ideally, you have both. Ideally, it's going to be cinematic and cool, and the matches will be really good. So, but we're also different. Like, I liked WrestleMania 30 a lot. I thought Daniel Bryan's whole storyline was cool. Like, I thought Kofi having a WrestleMania moment last year was awesome because it was, like, an organic WrestleMania moment. So,
that was awesome. He was never the plan last year, and he ended up winning the title. That was cool last year. And 30 is an all-time WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, I think that might just also be where I'm a younger and shinier fan than Matt is, too. Like, I started later, and I love the older stuff, and I definitely like it a lot more than a lot of the newer stuff. But, like, for WrestleManias that I've experienced since I started watching as a fan, like, 30 is definitely maybe probably at the top of the list.
30 is a top five Mania.
Yeah, so, like, I think... But that might also just be it where is. We're differentiating. I just appreciate that Matt, like, also wanted to preview a pay-per-view he's not going to watch for a product he doesn't watch. So,
very quickly, though, going back to, like, 30, and even if you then go back to, like, WrestleMania 25, like, 25... What? Sorry, I stepped on you. Going back to 25, like, it was all about... That was HBK Taker, right? And HBK at the time was the best wrestler in the company. And then, like, at 30... Daniel Bryan was the best wrestler in the company. If you go back and watch that show and watch, like, there was no one in that building that wanted Orton. There was no one in that building that wanted Batista. And even in the first match, there was no one in that building that wanted Triple H to win. Like, you talk about someone being as white hot as they could be. Daniel Bryan was it. And I don't like really anything they're doing now. I'm interested in a couple things. Edge and Orton, I definitely would like to see because their promos that I've seen on Twitter have been really good. But it being bad now doesn't change how I feel about, like, 30 was awesome. I had a blast last year at Mania up until, like, it was kind of felt like a Mania in two parts where everything before the Kofi match and then everything after it, where if they had ended the night with Kofi winning that title, that place blew up and was pumped.
Yeah, we were exhausted. Like, I was there, and, like, same. I was really excited about the women. Yeah, I was so excited about the women's match, and I was just so tired. Like, I just wanted a nap really bad halfway through that Mania. And I
that joke could have ended after Kofi.
I was just
I have a serious question. Was last year at Giant Stadium?
Yes.
Holy fuck! It feels like so long ago. Like, that's
because March felt like 5 years. That's why.
First of all, I also don't think I'm watching WrestleMania. One night is long enough. Two nights, good fucking luck. I have no vested interest. Maybe I'll turn it on if there's absolutely nothing on, but I'm not committing to it. Two, I don't care how much I enjoy AJ Styles. It is too fucking late for me to give a shit about him versus The Undertaker. The Undertaker hasn't been fucking good at wrestling for at least the last 5 years. So I don't give a shit if that's a hot take. I don't give a fuck about what he's doing with AJ Styles. So that's not enough to get me invested. And if you need production to enjoy wrestling, then go back and watch fucking Macho and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the IC title at 3. You don't need production to be able to tell a fucking great story in a great match. And even Andre Hogan from the same goddamn WrestleMania, it doesn't need to be production. Tell a good story, have a good match, and that's all you fucking need.
But
I don't give a shit.
No one's saying you have to, but the point is that the production doesn't always have to compensate. It shouldn't have to compensate for bad storytelling. It can be an enhancement, and that's what I'm hoping for.
But
I don't
think
they so rarely do like cinematic-y kind of stuff, which is why I kind of want to see what, you know, you kind of don't have to worry about Taker not being great in a match when you can change things in post-production, especially if they're doing it gimmicked in like a graveyard or something. I enjoy both things. I think that's what the good thing about wrestling is. Like, again, I'll go back to like the Final Deletion and stuff. The Final Deletion got me to buy an Impact pay-per-view. So every once in a while, something different like that, I want to see what it looks like, and I don't care about how they shoot the show, like, in the Performance Center and stuff, but something different like that, like, I want to see what it looks like. Now, will I watch live? Probably not. I don't want to make my wife watch 3 hours Saturday night of wrestling I don't really invest in, same with Sunday, but, you know, like, I'll probably check it out during the week at some point.
Yeah, like, we're in quarantine, guys. Like, it's a free show that might be good. Like, this is almost like when people are like, you know, it's fake, right? And Matt's always like, yeah, you know, Grey's Anatomy's fake, right? Like, that's kind of how I feel about it.
I'm not telling anybody. You want to watch it? Watch it. I don't give a shit. My thing is, when you talk about wrestling and you say, I want to watch a show, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is production. I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore. I watch a wrestling show to see wrestling.
I know, but I'm can at least be intrigued by the fact
you could do, Kate, you could do whatever you want. You're not wrong. You're not right. You're Kate, and whatever makes you happy. And
I'm Kate, and I'm right.
because you're not the first person that said something like that, and I just don't understand when it got to that point where it's not about the wrestling. It's about the entertainment, the production, the guests, the gaga, the nonsense, the filler, the fucking two jackoffs from Saturday Night Live that were part of WrestleMania last year that were on Raw every fucking week leading up to WrestleMania. For what?
Yeah, but I think if I wasn't also intrigued by some of the wrestling things that were going on, I wouldn't be tuning in just for the spectacle part of it. Like, I'm intrigued by the novelty of them doing something completely different than they've ever done before, but that's not the only reason I'm tuning in, and I don't think it's even the chief reason I'm tuning in. There are some matches that I really want to see. I really want to see Charlotte versus Rhea. I really want to see Orton versus Edge, like, production or not. So, like, I think the reason that people are going back to that isn't necessarily because it's the reason to tune in. I think it's because it's the thing that's most unique. Like, it is very unique circumstances that we're operating under.
I think that's the thing too. Like, I couldn't watch that every single week. Like, if that's what wrestling was made to be every week, like shot movie like for every match you saw, like, I couldn't do it. In this one circumstance, with it being WrestleMania and stuff, and, you know, because of what's happening in the world, I can buy into wanting to see it. But like Kate said, like, that's not the only thing I want to see. I want to see John Morrison in a ladder match versus Kate. Do you know who he's wrestling? I forget
I
who,
don't,
honestly.
Great sell.
Regardless of who, if you tell me John Morrison's in a ladder match, I want to watch it. Same thing, I want to see Orton and Edge, because that, I think, is a really good story that's been told. Their promos have been awesome. Randy's RKOing Beth was awesome. Edge is pissed off and he looks great. And I can get into Charlotte Flair and Rhea. Charlotte's the best women's wrestler ever. And Rhea Ripley is, you know, the hot new thing. So those are three legitimate wrestling matches I want to see. The other stuff, like Kate said, it's just a novelty that I couldn't care about stuff like that all the time. But for this one thing, given the situation, if I have nothing to do on, like, next Tuesday night and nothing's happening, why not check it out and see what it looked like?
My bigger concern,
I think
too,
you can tell it.
I was just going to say, the bigger concern to me, other than, I know Mania being 2 days, everyone's like, is that saturation? I'm more like, they're doing TakeOver Wednesday, and then they're going to do a two-day Mania and a Raw after Mania.
Wait,
like,
there's a TakeOver?
Yeah, they're going to do, I think they're doing a TakeOver on Wednesday, if I remember correctly.
Like, tonight? They're
going to put it head-to-head with AEW as, like, a grab.
So that was tonight?
No. Next
I think they're
week,
doing it at a later date.
So, but this is what intrigues me, and it's got actually nothing to do about the show. It's got actually everything to do about the post WrestleMania, because there was a report today that Ron DeSantis, who's the governor of Florida, has just issued a stay at home order for the entire state, because they're trying to combat, you know, COVID-19. So this could possibly impact both AEW and the WWE, depending on, I guess, who's essential and who's not. But apparently there were rumors that within the WWE that they could be going on a possible break. That's according to some rumors among the crews. And that if the state issued a stay-at-home order, that they could reconsider taking a break after WrestleMania. So that happens this weekend. If they do go forward with the time off, apparently they're saying that some of the footage that they've already filmed may not air at all. You know, the Raw that's due April 6th, that's already been filmed, and the April 8th edition of NXT, you know, could fall into that possibly. April 10th SmackDown, I guess, was supposed to be live on Fox, so that would be affected as well. You know, basically the stay-at-home order goes into effect this Thursday night at midnight, so they'll need to make some sort of announcement, I guess, soon. So I'm most interested to see what happens after that, but also it. Tying this back to AEW, if that's what happened, and maybe that's why they moved to Tennessee to get away from Florida and the stay-at-home order, then fucking that's the smartest shit that they could have done.
I think so, because I think there was a thing where there was another set of restrictions last Thursday at 11 p.m. where everybody was shooting up until the very last minute. Like, some of the Mania matches, for example, were shooting up. So, I mean, I think as long as Vince has access to an XFL stadium that doesn't have restrictions on it, they'll probably keep going, because they could probably, there's probably reserved XFL contract dates in those, like for wherever they were having XFL games.
That season's over.
Yeah,
that season would have been over by now, though.
Oh, that's a very good point.
It was only like an 8-game season or something weird like that. It was supposed to end in April.
That's right. You're 100% right. I forgot
about
that.
That doesn't happen often.
He also has relationships, and stadiums are dying for someone to pay money for them right now. So
yeah, if they're not being turned into quarantine zones, yeah, then I guess you could find an empty stadium.
Well, and how is that going to, like, you're going to ship talent to a different place every week until every state is like that? Like, it is a very interesting thing about what happens after Mania. What is SummerSlam going to look like? If it's going to look like anything, like, you're right, that gray area following Mania, I think, is going to be as telling as anything. And I think the fact that Hour 3 was at 1.6 million this week, this isn't working already. So what happens when more variables come into play? Yikes.
I looked up that what the ladder match is supposed to be, and it's going to be Morrison versus someone from the New Day versus someone from the Usos in a ladder match. So, if you don't like that match, then I don't know what you're asking for as far as in-ring awesome wrestling. Because
someone from the New Day, someone from the Usos, like, just fucking announce it.
Because I think it's taking
Morrison
place at
versus,
SmackDown, the
so
qualifying
Morrison,
match.
Yeah, Morrison versus likely Kofi or Big E. I'd love to see Big E in there, throw a big guy in. And then you have the Usos, who are both awesome, and you figure they can pull like a twin swap out somewhere.
Ooh,
in that
twin
match.
Magic.
They could pull some twin magic. Nice. Also,
little Bella.
Also, Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, that's who.
That's a like WrestleMania match?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't Aleister Black wrestling like fucking Bobby Lashley?
According to CBS Sports, he is.
Get the fuck out of here.
I also want to see Otis versus Ziggler for the love of Mandy Rose. I could not be more in on Otis. I've got no problem admitting that.
No, he's the best.
He is entertaining as shit.
He is. I'm with you.
He is pro wrestling, man. He is.
So there's some good stuff happening.
Don't be so offended. Don't be too good for it. When they do, that's the thing. When they do some stuff that I actually think is good, you have to give them credit for doing stuff you think is good. It's as bad as it is, not every single thing is terrible. I mean, if you just care about in-ring wrestling, you can't have a better match than Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that's going to be
awesome. And if you want a high-flying spot fest, that ladder match is going to be awesome.
I can't wait for Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. That's all I know. They are promoting the ever-living shit out of it, and I can't.
I'll say this, too. If anyone's giving that dude shit for pulling out, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, like, yeah. My biggest complaint with WWE is all of the matches we just named. Like, I'm not excited for either title match. I'm not excited. Drew and Brock, it's just like, will Brock decide to care? Because when Brock cares, things happen that are awesome. But like Goldberg versus Roman Reigns, I wasn't excited about when it was happening, and I'm not excited that it's gone. So like two part-timers holding the title is just something that makes me want to barf. But like the mid-card and undercard, I'm excited for, I guess.
Is Brock even confirmed having wrestled this match? Because there were...
Oh, I heard. I heard he freaked the fuck out on Vince because he wanted to get the match over and done with, and Vince told him no.
Really?
I thought I'd seen, like, early in the week that they had it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't follow up. I've been.
But I could be wrong, so I don't know.
You'll have to watch WrestleMania this weekend.
How did this turn into a corporate Twitter takeover? God damn it, Kate.
No,
it's
not a corporate takeover, but I just think I'm trying to be positive because everything sucks now. So the few good things that do interest me, I'm going to want to see.
Of course.
Yeah,
yes.
Not everything is terrible.
No.
Nope.
Just 99% of it.
I would pay money for everything AEW has done. I wouldn't pay money for this. Like that is where to me, that's a big thing. Like, that if this wasn't the network, I wouldn't be watching WrestleMania is a big thing. Whereas, like, I couldn't have handed over my credit card faster to watch Revolution. Couldn't have done that.
So you are paying for WrestleMania.
But you pay for the back catalog. That's really the thing.
You're paying for WrestleMania. You're plunking your $10 down a month. You're technically paying for WrestleMania.
You got the network. So
I'm paying to watch. If I wouldn't have bought WrestleMania if my $10 a month didn't also get me Ric Flair and Terry Funk getting to watch. What did I watch? Clash, I think?
Clash of the Champions, yes. The one Champions. I believe it was in New there York.
Words. I have them. Like, that's why I'm subscribed to the network right now, is for the catalog of stuff. Like, I would not be paying $10 a month for WrestleMania. It just happens to be included in this. So, like, that's a huge distinction for me as far as, like, what value a brand is putting out. Because I'll pay for anything AEW is doing. I'll pay for anything New Japan's doing. Like, I would not pay for this otherwise. That's important. This used to be a world that was measured in buys, and I wouldn't buy it.
Well, enjoy the back catalog while you still have it, too, because there's rumors on what's going to happen with that at some point as well.
Well, my guess is they're getting a huge surge right now, so this might have saved the network.
they're giving it away for free for like 3 months is what I thought I saw. Like, there's been a lot of things like, dude, they're giving away WrestleMania for free. There's been some articles I've seen, like promotional articles running around the internet. So
I don't think you get everything, though.
No, yeah. They did say They did say you
I think
did
you can
have...
watch all the WrestleManias and this one, but I don't think, like, you could pull up random Raws or maybe even other random pay-per-views if you want to.
Yeah, and I think you get everything that they're – all the specials they're doing this week, too, leading into WrestleMania. But if you want to watch, Clash 8, you can't. You're fucking beat. Give me your $10.
I thought I saw something about possibly having the WWE pay-per-view catalog.
Oh, okay.
So even that, you're getting it for free for a while. They're giving it away. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if the rumors around what they're going to do with their network will still happen after this, COVID-19 kind of stay-at-home order everywhere. But, I don't give a shit about it. I'm not going to fucking watch.
I hear you. Well, guys, it's been fun. My wife's going to beat the shit out of me when I go downstairs because I told her we were going to only do this for like an hour. I want to say to Kate, I want to say we're coming up on our one-year friendiversary.
I know. I'm so excited. I was thinking about that earlier.
It's pretty wild that we only met a year ago at, while I look at both of you, Anthony and Danny, at the New Japan show at the Garden. That's where we met, Kate.
That's also...
Did I steal your ticket?
No, they had better seats than us, I think.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we
were
paid
downstairs
for those seats. Listening, too, that wants to watch that and doesn't have New Japan, I believe they are putting that up for free. I don't know if it's up now or up. They're going to put it up on, like, the 4th or 5th. But they are putting the G1 Supercard at the Garden up for free on New Japan World.
Yes, and Ring of Honor has been putting a ton of shit on their YouTube channels, and they're updating their Honor Club catalog, which is awesome stuff. So if you're interested in any of that, definitely check that out.
Their YouTube looks awesome. Now, whoever took control of their YouTube, like, revamped everything. It looks so much better than it did, like, 2 months ago.
It was probably Marty Scurll. He just took over literally everything in the company. YouTube, booking... He did it all.
All right, Kate, hide your fucking lady boner from Marty, please.
I will not hide my lady boner from Marty. I love him.
He outsourced it to the Bucks. That's who he had to do it. He outsourced it to the Bucks.
Well, guys.
All right, apologize for us.
What's up?
Apologize to your wife for us.
I will. This was a blast. I love you guys. I'm glad you're all safe. I'm glad I see some smiling faces. I'm glad I don't see Kate. I'm only kidding, Kate. When you said before that you were having a conversation with three smart wrestling fans, you were talking about the three of us, right?
No, I was texting other people.
Oh, okay. Ooh, Anthony just gave me the heart.
Just kidding.
As long as I'm quarantined, no, not even that. I want to do this next Wednesday with you guys. This is part of the Shining Wizards quarantine content.
I like it.
Hell yeah.
You guys want to say anything before I stop recording?
No, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. And happy friendiversary.
Anthony, Danny, anything? Any goodbyes?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I look forward to this now weekly. If anybody wants to give a follow, you could find me on Twitter at AntMoney. Instagram at AntMoney247. I post a lot of stupid shit, sometimes wrestling related, sometimes not. So feel free to give a follow and say what's up. Oh, also vote on the cup, right, Matt?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
The Sweet 16 starts tomorrow at noon. If you haven't watched the video, go over to Shining Wizards Facebook account, facebook.com/Wizards Podcast, and you could watch a much shorter video than the last two because we're running out of teams, and I break down the Sweet 16.
Danny Russ 973 on Twitter and Instagram. Give me a follow. Tell me to go fuck myself. And if you're hungry and want to order some pizza in the North Jersey area, make sure to hit up Pizza Vita in Summit.
I love the plugs, Danny. I love it. I do get surly when I have to answer the phone, though, and tell people how to order online. It's getting a little out of hand.
And make sure to call and ask Matt how do you order online correctly. Please, so there's no snafus.
Please don't. Don't do it on Tuesday.
Ask for Matt, though. You have to call and ask for Matt.
Yes.
Johnny, you have the phone Matt number, Danny?
I'll be there Friday night, Saturday all day, Sunday all day. So feel free to call and
bother me. Oh, you could put on WrestleMania and Pizza Vita.
I could, actually. I've been thinking about bringing well, there's going to be a WrestleMania on ESPN, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think last year's.
Yeah.
So God forbid they show a good one.
So Saturday or Sunday, while WrestleMania's on,
oh, God,
if you call 908-277-1400, Matt will actually commentate to you what's happening on the screen.
But we are only open till 7:30, so you have a very small window to talk to me.
So you can catch the first match or Gronk being an asshole in the ring. But Matt will commentate it for you.
In Spanish. He's the Spanish announce table at Pizza Vita.
Matt, can you do Japanese commentary?
See.
Thumb is up.
Lariato!
That was my favorite part of the night, right at the end.
Great. All right, well, we'll do this again next week, guys. For myself, Kate the Great, Anthony and Danny, we thank you for tuning in. Stay in your homes. Be safe. Don't be fucking selfish. And just enjoy the Wizards. Enjoy the quarantine content. Follow these guys. Chat them up on the Instagram and the Twitter. They're great for wrestling conversations. You can only hope that Kate's Twitter is not like her phone. Because then you will get the... Like, I'm pretty sure we still got a text message while we were starting this that was meant for like 8 o'clock tonight when it said, I'm starting to think this Lemmy Omega is pretty good.
I meant to say Kenny Omega, and the best part about that is, like, it just knew that I also loved Lemmy, I guess. It was
right.
A combination of our metal and our wrestling talk coming together.
But I got that at 10 o'clock, and I'm assuming that was meant for, like, right at the beginning of AEW at 8.
Yeah. No, that was super, like, an 8:05 text.
Great. Yeah. So it's still going strong. AT&T, people. They rule.
Hey, maybe instead of corporate takeover next week, we could talk a little bit of music.
We'll do it all next week. We'll do it all next week. All right, I'm going to turn this shit off, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
Bye.